Hey, what's happening? What goes on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today's episode revolves around the sensor organs and how they're used. We already spoke about hearing in detail, but what I would like to do here is not talking about another sensor organ in particular, but about the range of detection. When is what sensor organ used for or first triggered? Maybe you have seen in the past when you look through a shark book, there's always like a diagram, a picture that gives you ranges of when a particular sensor organ starts to detect something. Normally it goes something like hearing reaches the farthest, then comes smell, then vision, and on and on. Well, all these pictures have one thing in common. They're not accurate or more direct. They're wrong. So why is that? Most of these maximum range assumptions of a particular sensor organ are guesswork, at best, and never really tested. Granted, there has been research done, but hardly under field conditions, and here the word is field conditions, where you have the influence of so many other factors that you basically can eliminate in a laboratory. But of course, sharks do not detect it in the laboratory. They detect anything under field conditions. So in the following, I will go through these ranges and give you some ideas how the individual sensor organ may really be put to use. What I did for this show was I went on the internet, typed the five words in shark, range, detection, organ, and sensory, and just use now the first of these images that popped up. In this case, it says that hearing is the most far-reaching sensory organ. Beyond 1,000 meters. The range marker is close to 10,000 meters on the diagram, then on 1,000 meters. So what is wrong with this? Can sharks pick up sounds from that distance or not? Well, they can in theory, but that's about it. The reason is simple. To be able to reach such a distance, the sound has to be of very low frequency and cannot be overshadowed by another competing sound of similar frequency or more that's louder or whatever. Why low frequency? These sound waves travel the furthest. Even if a person could do that, other sounds would likely overpower that one. Why is that? Just picture a person moving through the water with, let's say, a regular breaststroke. The person would create two types of waves, acoustic ones and actual water pressure. So water pressure is out right now, we're just talking about acoustic ones. The acoustic ones would only then be hearable for a few meters, if at all, if the surface is calm. Would there be waves? There would be way too much additional noise. So if a person swims in an environment where other sounds are produced, like breaking waves close to beaches, close to cliffs, or in river mouth, hearing would not help a shark to find a person. So right there, hearing is most of the time not the one impulse that sharks will follow in the first place. Looking at the picture I downloaded from the net, the next one reads smell, more than 100 meter, but less than 1,000 meter. That a shark can smell stuff within this range is certainly true, but the upper distance needs to be extended. There's easily the chance the shark can sniff something that is over 1,000 meter away, but it depends on the current, the concentration of substance that is poured in the water, and of course the sensitivity of the shark's nose. Of course, then it also depends on what type of trail is created. For example, what type of amino acids are detected, since sharks are unequal sensitive to the different amino acids. But despite that sharks can detect substances from far away, this distance can also be reduced to a few meter max, where there is no current. So this second range is also not really correct. Then there is pressure, water pressure, which is labeled with a distance of less than 100 meter from the shark. Now this one I totally disagree with. I think it's wrong. Water pressure, the displacement of water particles, can only be detected by a shark from a distance of about two body lengths of a shark. Remember, that is the inner circle that we discussed in earlier episodes. Just try this next time you hang out with a shark. Try to get as close as about two body lengths, or let the shark come as close about two body lengths, and then kick water towards the shark with your fin. In most cases, the animal will react. Don't worry, it will not be scared off. But then you do it from a slightly further distance and do it again. And sooner or later, a shark will not react to it anymore. So this gives you a good idea how far away the lateral line system works. Then there is vision, which is given at a range of less than 100 meters. Well, I guess that is the first of these markers that is correct. But then again, less than 100 meters does not really say much. It could be 90, it could be 80. Definitely not. I've been on dives where the visibility exceeded 40 meters, but that is very, very rare. So I would say max 50 meters, that's about as far away a shark would actually be able to see you under best circumstances. However, vision, of course, depends on the light and the particles in the water column. So now the last range, that would be, I would say, up to 50 meters max. Now, the last range of this diagram is the electrical reception with a distance of less than 50 centimeters from a shark. I can agree to that. The next range has no actual distance anymore, but it's just labeled as direct contact. Direct contact includes here, based on this diagram, taste, touch, and temperature. I can agree to taste and touch, but not temperature. I don't want to go into temperature here due to a running project we have, and so I don't really want to go and spread out inaccurate information, but a fact already is a shark can detect temperature differences away from its body. So if I look at this diagram, out of the 8 senses mentioned, for 5 of them, the range was not really accurate. But then there are other sensor organs like the pit organs. What are they doing? Some mentioned that there are external taste buds, chemoreceptors, or used for water current detection. I will do shows of all the different sensor organs down the road of LTS, so I will not go into that. So let's just leave it at that. So these pit organs are not even mentioned in the diagram. That is a bit disturbing, since where did the person who created that image get his information? Most likely from another drawing. So one wrong image is the base for the next one, and on and on. That makes it easier to understand why there is so much erroneous information on sharks out there. Even more so, since it all started with wrong information that was spread by the scientists of the 70s, who created a picture of sharks that was far from the truth. But that is the way many things go. Once a wrongful information hits the books, or nowadays hits the web, it just stays there, and the less thorough the observer is, the more this very wrongful information will spread. But beside the incorrect use of information about sharks and what these ranges mean that I just discussed, it doesn't tell us what it means for a shark or an interaction with one. Probably the most important thing is that the closer a shark is to a person or an object in general, the more sensor organs are used, meaning the closer a shark comes, the more complex the picture gets. Of course, a shark will never understand what it has in front of it, since we aren't familiar to them. But there must be something with these sensor organs, since some of these sharks calm down after a few minutes, while others keep a distance or even take off. So this raises the question, which sensor organ or what combination of them is triggered, and in what way does a shark then calm down? Based on what sensory organ will it calm down? Questions like these are very intriguing to me. So, and I hope down the road I will get more students, more grant money, so we actually can tackle some of these questions. Should you interact with a shark next time, just ask yourself what a shark may pick up and what it can do with it. So there's a lot of questions that we want to be asked, be answered. So should you interact with a shark next time, ask yourself what a shark may pick up and what he can do with it. Try to be active during interaction. It's what we also call deep pathology. Try to see a situation from the shark side. So that may give you an interesting perspective. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.